First, I mean, I want to talk about the album, obviously, but I want to talk about the recording process for the album. I read somewhere that you guys recorded it in a vacant house in rural Victoria over 4 days. What was the decision behind that?
Yes, it's a very good question. well, I think part of the reason was because we're all quite busy in the band. So all five of us either play in a whole bunch of other bands or kind of work full time. So it's just kind of hard for us to kind of get together for an extended period of time. So I think once we kind of had the 8 songs that we thought would make up the album, we thought we really needed to just go away somewhere and get it all done in one go. And I guess the kind of budget constraints around doing that in a kind of, you know, a nice recording studio where we could stay for a few days, was kind of problematic. So we kind of concocted this plan to kind of take over some sort of vacant house or a house we could stay in the country and sort of treat it as a bit of a getaway too. And our friend Minno, who plays in the band No Sister, agreed to produce and engineer the record, and he was pretty confident that he could, I guess, kind of turn whatever space we found into some sort of makeshift studio. So that was the kind of plan. And then we were really lucky. A friend who lives in the country heard about this house near their place that was just vacant. It was a close friend of theirs that owned the house, and they asked the person, and it turns out they're, like, you know, really big music fans of people that own this house, and they're like, oh, that sounds like an amazing thing, you coming up here and recording an album. We'd love the opportunity to help out. So it kind of happened that way.
That's so cool. I love that flex of, it's fine, I can make anything into a recording studio. Like, that's such a mad flex. I love that.
Yeah, well, as someone who is not particularly savvy in recording music, I kind of just put all that trust in him as a producer and as an engineer. And if he tells me he can do it, I just say, go right ahead and do it.
Cool. I'll stand on as many rugs as you need.
Yeah, exactly.
And you guys have described your sound as quote unquote post something. I was wondering if you could kind of, you know, go through that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess the term sort of post-punk and post-rock get thrown around a lot. And it's funny because I don't necessarily think you can kind of define those things anymore. I think that there was a period of music when post-punk really was a thing. And, you know, it literally came straight after the initial punk movement, and it really was easy to define. But I guess these genre tags get thrown onto bands all the time, and sometimes it just seems a little bit flippant or something. So I guess it's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek reference to the way the genres are used as labels, but also I think it's a reference to that type of music that has certainly influenced the band, you know, things like post-punk and even post-rock to a certain degree, that kind of, you know, hopefully interesting you know, kind of alternative genre that certainly is a big influence on the band.
I mean, it's definitely interesting. I mean, from my point of view anyway, but I mean, the guitar playing on the record, I think that's definitely something that really, really grabs me. It's quite, you know, angular and knotty, and you have dueling guitars and these, you know, really complex riffs just kind of crisscrossing over the top of each other. I mean, I wanted to talk about, what's the process like when you're creating those kind of complex interplays in the guitars? And I don't know, do you draw any references from other bands to kind of get there?
Yeah, I have a real soft spot for that style of guitar that you just described, the kind of angular sound of, I don't know, going back to bands like Gang of Four or Pylon, the kind of, yeah, history of, like I say, post-punk and kind of strange guitar bands. And then even, you know, bands like Sonic Youth, who were doing really interesting things with guitars. It just really interests me as a guitar player, I guess. The guitar is my main instrument. And in some ways, like, I wish that I had more instruments to kind of draw from, because I think that guitar music, it's not necessarily passé, but I think that there's more interesting kind of instruments and styles being explored with other instruments that aren't utilizing guitars in the same way that they used to be utilized. And so in some ways I wish I could kind of, like, move away from guitars, but it is my primary instrument. So I think that part of using that instrument for me, or part of the responsibility of using that instrument, is trying to make it as interesting as possible. So I guess it's a challenge for myself to kind of, you know, come up with a riff that might sound standard at first and then kind of subvert it in some way, or try and find a way to make it sound sort of off kilter and interesting. And that's the music that really interests me. And it's certainly the music that I want to be making.
Yeah, I love that, how you just kind of, like, build upon, like, an initial idea in a way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I guess that's the other great thing about being in a band with other people and collaborating. you know, you can take a song to a certain point and come up with a guitar riff and think that that sounds really interesting. And then you bring it to the band as a building block, and then someone will add another part, which was totally unexpected. And I guess that's where the kind of dueling guitar and instrumentation interplay comes from, that you're hearing. And it's nice to hear that you are hearing that, because I think that that's totally something that's come from the collaborative nature of the band. Yeah, I'll come up with a guitar riff, bring it to band, and then the others will kind of add these parts and add to the complexity and dynamism.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's definitely something that when I was listening to the album, I was like, yes, writing that down, loving it. 3 ticks from me and a smiley face.
Oh, cool. That's great.
And so I wanted to talk about one specific song, Logos. It's a great song. It paints this kind of pessimistic picture about, you know, working in, you know, under capitalism, especially, you know, working life as an artist. How has your kind of own experience as a musician in Melbourne been? Are you finding that there's, you know, space and support for artists to thrive, you know, specifically right now?
Yeah, it's such a complicated question. Mm. I think that Melbourne's music community is so strong and so diverse and really is the bedrock of, I guess, you know, this city's culture in some ways, in my opinion anyway. So I think that there's always going to be a place for it, and there's always going to be a thirst for it. But it's certainly, you know, the pandemic and the fact that we have no shows happening at the moment really has presented such a problem. And it's been interesting to see how Melbourne's kind of battling through that. I don't think there are any kind of easy answers. I think that, yeah, we're really struggling. I don't know what it's going to look like on the other side. But I do know that that thirst hasn't gone away. And I guess releasing music in this time is interesting, because I can still tell that there's a thirst for it, and people are maybe even listening to music more. But I guess to kind of bring it back to that question around capitalism, what I really am struggling with is, or what I fear for, are the people who are trying to make money out of their music and their art. You know, that was so hard enough before this. Mm. And now it's just, you know, with touring and live music being taken away, it's just completely removed any viable way of making an income for people. So I do really worry about that. And I hope that we can kind of rebuild a system that is a little bit more equitable going forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right, is that you have to try to be positive about this. And I mean, that's one of the biggest things that a lot of people that I've spoken to in the last few months have been like, hopefully we can kind of take this as a lesson and we can, you know, change society and change the way that we run after this.
Yeah, I really hope so. I don't really know what that's going to look like, but I really hope that we can find a way, because I think that, I mean, I'm very lucky because, you know, I have other work and I actually don't rely on my music to make money, but so many people do. And most people just will not be able to make any sort of money out of their music with touring disappearing. And I think it's really kind of exposed things like music streaming as the potential rot that it is. You know, people just aren't making meaningful money from things like Spotify and Apple Music. And I think we really need to have a conversation as an industry around why we've allowed that to happen. You know, like that's the main way people listen to music. And obviously community radio and radio is another way, but you know, music streaming is this dominant force, and it's the money is just not trickling down to the artists, and I think that's a real concern.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, I feel like because everyone's spending a bit more time at home, they've kind of really clutched on to their streaming services. So in a way, it's, I don't know, maybe even become a bit more important for people at the moment. So that kind of makes that discourse even more difficult, right?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I use streaming services and I totally recognize that they're super user-friendly and they're an amazing database of music. So it's such a complex thing because, yeah, we all engage with them and it's kind of hard not to engage with them, right? But at the same time, I think we all need to be aware of how the potential damage of them in terms of, you know, the distribution of wealth, I guess, in the music industry. And that's something that I've been trying to like keep aware of and trying to, you know, find ways to rectify that and, you know, try and put my money, if I have some, towards the artists themselves, if I can do that. But of course, not everyone can do that as well. So it's a really complicated thing.
Yeah, no, it really is. And it will be interesting to see, you know, where we head afterwards. But yeah.